and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For the most part, the weather has been cooperating at the major airports as Americans make their ways back home after Christmas. A winter storm in the nation's midsection, though, caused trouble for those traveling by car.
A busy time on the roads this holiday. AAA says more than 115 million people traveled more than 50 miles from their homes. AAA tracking record-breaking travel with an estimated 7.5 million people taking to the skies.
ABC's Melissa Adon. Three U.S. military personnel were wounded in a kamikaze drone attack in northern Iraq. The U.S. retaliated with airstrikes on three separate locations used by a militia backed by Iran, destroying those facilities. They didn't reject it outright, but Israel and Hamas gave cool public receptions to Egypt's proposal to end the war with a phased hostage release and formation of a Palestinian government of experts to run Gaza and the occupied West Bank. This is ABC News. Blame the rich foods, travel stress, or family fights. The American Heart Association says more people die from heart attacks during the last week of December than any other time of the year.
In the classic holiday cartoon, when
the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day,
he probably should have had that checked out. Kevin Boydston, who portrays Santa Claus at events around Kansas City, felt symptoms and called 911.
Wednesday, I had the heart attack. Friday, I was released from the hospital. Saturday, I did an event.
Dr. Jason Lindsay implanted a stent in Boydston's heart, and Christmas was saved.
I'm happy that Mr. Claus is still with us.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Federal land managers plan to round up more than 2,800 wild horses across four Nevada counties starting this week. There are six times as many horses than what there should be, and there's not enough water or forage to support them all. The corralled horses will be put up for adoption after health checks. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says it will adopt new legislative maps in time for next year's election, unless the Republican-controlled legislature can pass maps that Democratic Governor Tony Evers will sign. All parties will be allowed to submit new maps to the court along with expert evidence and supporting arguments. The court will appoint one or more consultants to look at the maps and issue reports. It's the end of the line for one of Wisconsin's most beloved local businesses. Lane's Bakery in Madison closed its doors Sunday. Lane's goes back to 1954. Owner Charles Lane is the grandson of the original owner, and he's been there for 40 years. Charles and his wife Becky say they're ready to retire. Last we knew, the Lanes were holding out hope a new buyer will start up the bakery again. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Packers get the win in Carolina. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The final score, 33-30. Packers were leading by two touchdowns. Rookie Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, brought his team back. Had they put in new plays?
You know, we didn't have these magical new plays. We didn't have these, magical new schemes. We had some new stuff in. But ultimately, we talk about all year, it's just execution.
The Packers are now 7-8 and still have a chance to make the playoffs. How did Jordan Love perform? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought Jordan did an outstanding job.
We just never quite got into a great rhythm in the second half.
Love is running out of receivers. Christian Watson still dealing with a hamstring injury. Jaden Reed unable to play because of an injured toe. Dontavian Wicks suffered a chest injury after scoring a touchdown.
Christian being out and Jay Reed being out. Guys had to step up. Rome had to step up. Wicks had to step up. Just he's having more opportunities in that role with the guys injured. And obviously with him getting hurt, more guys got to step up.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain and some patchy fog overnight as temperatures hold steady in the middle 40s. Northeast winds gusty. On Tuesday, we'll have rain around. Temperatures will be falling into the upper 30s by the end of the afternoon. Winds will turn to the south. It's 42 at our studios.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates
now
radio show.
From the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Wednesday happier, happy hour breaking news edition. And Dom, we got one of the newsbreakers joining us right now live via stream. He is Jeff Mandel. He is with Forward Law, Law Forward, my bad. Jeff, welcome back. The returning champ. You're a highly regarded man around here today, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's very kind. It's great to be back.
Jeff, let's start with the reporting at the Washington Post. I had heard earlier interviews. I've certainly read the reporting of Patrick Marley. First and foremost, does this reporting have it right to your opinion, sir? A, the false electors have effectively made a civil settlement, the 10 false electors here in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, tell the story, Jeff. How much of the Washington Post gets it right, and do you have any distinctions to draw?
No, I think the Post has the story exactly right. And Patrick has really been on this story from the beginning. He was in the Capitol on December 14th, 2020, looking to see where these folks were. And he has been interested in our efforts to find out what happened and hold those who tried to steal the election in Wisconsin accountable from the beginning. And as you say, today's news is that we have settled our civil case against the 10 fraudulent electors in Wisconsin. Keep in mind, this is the not only the first, but really the only civil case of its kind in the whole country, seeking accountability against these folks who, again, disregarded the will of the people. And we don't care that 3.3 million people in Wisconsin voted and Joe Biden won, but the 10 of us, we know better, and we're going to say that Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin and should be advanced toward becoming the president based on that. And so today's, let me step back. When we filed this case a year and a half ago, it was a really novel approach. And what we were trying to accomplish was two things. We wanted transparency, so that the people of Wisconsin would be able to understand exactly what had unfolded with this scheme here in Wisconsin. And we wanted accountability to make sure it could never happen again. And we entered this settlement that was announced today because we accomplished both of those things. We released almost 600 pages of materials, many of which were new, into the public, so that people can understand exactly who was involved and how this scheme came into being. And we got these 10 folk to promise that they will not be presidential electors in 2024. They will never again be presidential electors in an election where Donald Trump is participating. And if any of them is ever a presidential elector again, they won't engage in this kind of scheme to thwart the will of the voters and give Wisconsin's electorates to someone who didn't win the state election.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Jeff, this was a settlement with the 10 fake faults. Some would call them worse than that, but let's spare you for right now. Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin. But this does not release all these civil defendants from this case. And in fact, we have seen it reported that Jim Troupas, who was an attorney for Donald Trump through the recount and various actions, and Kenneth Cheesebro, who has been named and pled guilty in the Fulton County, Georgia, they are still defendants in what is now an ongoing civil suit against just two defendants. Do I have that part right, Jeff?
You have that part correct as well. So we brought this case with a number of claims, including the idea of a civil conspiracy to violate election law. And we were able to settle with the 10 fraudulent elect defendants today because we were able to accomplish those goals we set out of disclosure and accountability. We haven't yet reached a settlement or been able to accomplish those goals with the other defendants. And so the case goes on. If we're able to accomplish our goals, then we will, this isn't about vengeance. It's not about punishing or embarrassing anyone. It's making sure that the people of Wisconsin fully understand what happened and that we take steps to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Jeff, certainly appreciate the efforts, and anytime we can shine a light and get, you know, some background as to what went on and how it went down, that's a worthy effort. No monetary settlement in this part, Jeff. And honestly, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's great. But I mean, what is it? What is the value of them saying, and how important is it for them to retract the actual documents that said Trump was the president?
Well, I think it is actually important, Dom. And the in terms of the monetary settlement, as I said, this was never about vengeance. This was never about a pound of flesh. This was about making sure that our elections in Wisconsin function as our framers and as intended and as our democracy needs them to, and that nobody can thwart the will of voters. So that was what we aimed for, and that is what we've hit. The money piece really is, in my view, irrelevant. To your question of how important is it that they retract the fraudulent documents that they submitted, I think that it has real value. These are historic documents. They will be part of the archives. And what we got today is these 10 fraudulent electors saying a number of things that I think are really important. Number one, Joe Biden won the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Number two, you'll see in the discovery documents that we released, they admitted that they never were told and never believed that Donald Trump had won the 2020 election in Wisconsin, notwithstanding the fact that each of the 10 people signed documents that they sent to various state and federal officials, including the Congress of the United States, that said, we are the duly elected presidential electors for the state of Wisconsin, and we certify that Donald Trump won the election in the state of Wisconsin. And so those documents, even the fraudulent ones they submitted, are now part of the historical record. And by putting forward this acknowledgement today and agreeing to send this acknowledgement to every state and federal official who they had previously sent these fraudulent papers to, what we make sure is that historical record is complete, and that any time, whether it's now or whether it's 100 years from now, someone is trying to figure out what happened and they get their hands on those fake papers that say that Donald Trump won Wisconsin, they will also get this piece of paper that says, actually, that's not true, and we said that, and it's wrong, and nobody should rely on that.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. One other question in this regard, as the reporting from Patrick Marley states that the false electors said they would assist the Department of Justice in their investigation and help Biden electors and other lawsuits against Troopers and Cheesebro. Jeff, from your perspective, obviously, Josh Call has not yet investigated or publicly admitted to that. If they're under investigation, if something comes down that they now become under investigation in the state of Wisconsin, because this is basically an admission of what they did, if there's some criminality there, how would that impact their cooperation with the Department of Justice?
Well, it was important to us because we did settle and there wasn't going to be a public trial where these folks would have to testify and everyone could see it. It was important to us that we made sure we were not doing anything that would hamstring other accountability efforts in Washington or elsewhere. And so it is a term of the settlement that each of these elector defendants will cooperate with other investigations ongoing now or in the future, and will do so fully and openly. They also agreed to cooperate fully with our ongoing litigation against the remaining defendants who we believe were co-conspirators in all of this. Your question is a good one, Dom, and that is, you know, what happens if an investigation is opened, or maybe one is ongoing, but if one becomes public here in Wisconsin? Obviously, we have a Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, and people cannot be compelled to give testimony against themselves. So there is in the settlement agreement something that says, well, if you become the target of an investigation, then you don't have to cooperate in that investigation. You know, that sets you free. But until and unless that happens, we expect their full cooperation in our case and in all ongoing criminal matters. And I will note, since you flagged it, we are seeing those criminal investigations sort of continue to spread across the country. After our settlement news broke in the morning, this afternoon, the news broke that the fraudulent electors in Nevada have now been indicted.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin is now in the minority of states that had fraudulent electors this past election cycle, where there is not a publicly acknowledged or prosecution ongoing, or at least a criminal investigation. So I suppose we'll all see what happens.
Jeff Mandel, you are not a prosecutor. You were a successful plaintiff's civil litigant in this case. But if you were, do you think under Wisconsin law or perhaps federal law, with the evidence that you've now presented to the public, do you think there was criminality in this conspiracy, sir?
That's really hard for me to say, Crude. I've never been a criminal practitioner. I've never been a prosecutor. I've never been on the inside of making decisions like that and what goes into them. So it's really not for me to say. What I can say is that, I trust the Wisconsin Department of Justice, and I trust the district attorney here in Dane County to make these decisions. And, it is my understanding and has been, we presented to them, even before we filed this civil case, we presented to them evidence of what we knew at that time. And I have every reason to expect continuing to follow the news and continuing to see what's out there, and that they're doing their jobs to the best of their ability.
Jeff, one of the civil litigants that settled with your firm and your plaintiffs, Bob Spindell, is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. Was it ever negotiated or considered in your negotiations that he should resign from that position? This looks a lot like a confession to us, Jeff, but not trying to put words in your mouth. Was that ever discussed with this particular litigant?
That wasn't part of this settlement. I certainly share your view that that what happened here, as I've said several times, is inimical with the fundamental principles of our democracy and with our functioning as a democracy. And I think it's deeply disappointing and disturbing that we have a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission that was engaged in such activity. I will note that even after it became clear that Mr. Spindell was one of the fraudulent electors and had engaged in this conduct, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu reappointed him to the Elections Commission.
Jeff Mandel, hold tight. We want to talk more about the gerrymandering, the redistricting.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal,
everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
If you miss any of this fine program, go online to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab. You can find all the interviews and podcasts from the Devil's Advocates radio.
Dominic, we got the newsbreaker. He is Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. We appreciate the generosity of his time. He's sticking around. Not only has he successfully settled on behalf of his plaintiffs, a lawsuit against the fake Trump electors, and that will be an ongoing lawsuit against Cheesebro and Jim Troupas. But Jeff, your firm is intimately involved in the arguments behind the redistricting case, the gerrymandering case, the only way I know how to describe it, sir. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has heard oral arguments. Should we be waiting on pins and needles? Should we be expecting some sort of a ruling in the foreseeable future here, Jeff?
I think we should be expecting something fairly imminently. It's the holiday season. There's a lot going on. I wouldn't expect that something will be tomorrow or even next week. But I think that in the next several weeks, by sometime in mid-January at the latest, I expect that we're going to hear from the court. And I expect that we're going to hear good news, which is I expect the court is going to state that the maps that we currently have for our state legislature are unconstitutional. One of the reasons I expect that is that we had the oral argument shortly before Thanksgiving, and none of the defendants, none of the justices who expressed skepticism of the case, the more conservative justices, no one said the maps are constitutional. There were arguments that they didn't like the way the case was framed, or they didn't like the timing, or they didn't like this, or they didn't like that. But nobody really argued that the maps are constitutional, and it's because plainly they're not.
And Jeff, let's draw a distinction if we could. We have really three types of maps that could possibly be affected. We have the assembly maps. Three assembly districts make up a state Senate district in the state of Wisconsin. That is the Wisconsin legislative maps. And then we also have congressional maps. This current litigation is really about the legislative maps, if I understand correctly, Jeff. And the congressional maps would be unaffected?
That's correct. So this is about the assembly and the state Senate maps that make up our legislature and are governed by our state constitution and the requirements that are in that. The congressional maps are slightly different because they also, those are maps for the 8 members that Wisconsin sends to the United States House of Representatives. And so those are governed by federal law as well. And this is a case that's about state law.
Jeff, here becomes the question. If I understood the oral arguments and seemingly the quandary of some of the justices that might be willing to overturn the existing maps, the question becomes, who draws them? And do state senators that won re-election 2 years ago have to face re-election again? Apparently, even Justice Protasiewicz took some acknowledgement that that might strike some as a harsh remedy. So what is, if you had to read the tea leaves with us, Jeff, what is the ideal scenario from your point of view? Would it be a recasting of all 33 of the Senate districts, all 99 of the assembly districts? Is everybody got to be on the ballot next year?
Well, let's be clear that every time we have an even numbered year in Wisconsin, all 99 members of the assembly are up for election. So that's just a given. And half of the Senate is up for election in any given year. So in any given even numbered year. So regardless of what happens with the maps, there are 115 members of the legislature who are up for election next year. The question is whether what we have asked for, what our clients have asked for in this case, is that the additional 17 senators also be up for re-election. I don't think that's particularly extreme. We're not talking about hundreds of extra elections or anything like that. And why is it that we think that that should happen? It's because the maps have been so extremely gerrymandered. We have the most extreme partisan gerrymander in the United States here in Wisconsin, and we've had it now for a dozen years. And it denies the people of Wisconsin fundamental democracy. It denies our democracy the feedback mechanisms that are supposed to make it work, where what the people want and their opinions matter to their representatives and therefore get reflected in policy. We don't have that because the maps that we've had for the last 12 years are about the elected officials choosing their voters in such a way that the voters have no meaningful way to choose or affect their elected officials. Because of that, because that extreme gerrymander has distorted Wisconsin's politics for so long, we believe it shouldn't be allowed to persist one day more. And to make sure that that's true, we think that once there are new maps that are fair and accord with the Constitution, that all members of the legislature should have to run for election under those maps as soon as possible. Because to allow half the Senate to remain in office for another 2 years under that gerrymander is to mean that the Senate still won't have another 2 years where the Senate is not, half of the Senate at the very least, is not accountable to voters. And that can't be allowed.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward for just a few more minutes. Jeff, what was the philosophy behind the original jurisdiction going directly to the Wisconsin Supreme Court versus some other courts? I'm glad you did. I'm glad they heard it. But what was your thought there?
Yeah, I mean, the thought, Dom, is just that this case is so crucial. As I said just a moment ago, we've lived in Wisconsin under the gerrymandered maps for a dozen years, and every single day that they continue to be in effect is an affront to democracy and to the voters of Wisconsin. And the only way to move this case quickly enough to get relief in time for the 2024 election was to go straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I know that's become something that has become, it's become almost common in the last few years. We saw so much of it since Governor Evers took office. The legislature and conservative interest groups have just repeatedly run to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because they believed it would do its bidding. This is the first time that I've ever filed or been directly involved in filing an original action. And we've got other cases that we think are incredibly important, but we have not filed them as original actions because we think moving through the court system in an orderly way has real value and importance. But here, in this one instance, the only way to ensure that we have new maps in time for the 2024 elections was to go straight to the Supreme Court. And so we did.
And Jeff, if the Wisconsin Supreme Court comes back in your favor, in our favor, new maps to be drawn, is that the end of it for here in the state of Wisconsin, or is there another step? The U.S. Supreme Court, something else could happen?
Well, there's another step in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is that I expect that relatively soon we will get a ruling that the maps are unconstitutional, but then we're going to need to create new maps. And so that's another step in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I do not expect that we will have another court, the U.S. Supreme Court, weighing in here. Because as I said earlier, these are purely questions of the Wisconsin Constitution means. And when we talk about the Wisconsin Constitution, it is the Wisconsin Supreme Court that gets the final word. When we talk about questions of federal law or the United States Constitution, the U.S. Supreme Court gets the final word. But here we're talking about the state constitution, and the state Supreme Court is the end of the road.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left, Jeff. Final question. Let's assume new maps coming, new maps drawn. Republicans, of course, are not going to like the new maps. They appeal. Does that delay it, drag it out beyond the time frame that would allow for the recasting?
I don't think it should. There's always that possibility, and nobody can stop them from going to the U.S. Supreme Court and asking them to take the case. No one can stop them from asking the Supreme Court to hold the maps off while they consider taking the case. I don't expect that either of those things will work. I think that we're going to have new maps in Wisconsin for 2024.
Well, let's put while we're ahead. Jeff Mandel, Law Forward, thank you so much for joining us on a very busy day. Jeff, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Folks, more Devils. Phone lines, they're open. Toll free for you, 844-96-PARTY.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For the most part, the weather has been cooperating at the major airports as Americans make their ways back home after Christmas. A winter storm in the nation's midsection, though, caused trouble for those traveling by car.
A busy time on the roads this holiday. AAA says more than 115 million people traveled more than 50 miles from their homes. AAA tracking record-breaking travel with an estimated 7.5 million people taking to the skies.
ABC's Melissa Adon. Three U.S. military personnel were wounded in a kamikaze drone attack in northern Iraq. The U.S. retaliated with airstrikes on three separate locations used by a militia backed by Iran, destroying those facilities. They didn't reject it outright, but Israel and Hamas gave cool public receptions to Egypt's proposal to end the war with a phased hostage release and formation of a Palestinian government of experts to run Gaza and the occupied West Bank. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. High temperatures in Wisconsin this Christmas Day were expected to be as much as 20 degrees above normal in some places. 2023 is likely to go down as the 10th warmest year on record in Wisconsin. From New Year's Day through November, meteorologists say every month besides March, April, and July was above average. The National Centers for Environmental Information says the average temperature in Wisconsin this year is 47.6 degrees. Doctors are warning people not to overuse antibiotics this cold and flu season. Dr. Ken Redcross is a personal health consultant. He says antibiotics are ineffective against flu and the common cold. Flu season has peaked in February over the past 40 years, but has become less predictable since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain and some patchy fog overnight as temperatures hold steady in the middle 40s. Northeast winds gusty. On Tuesday, we'll have rain around. Temperatures will be falling into the upper 30s by the end of the afternoon. Winds will turn to the south. It's 42 at our studios.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Freaky Friday edition, getting better right now. First and foremost, thank you to our friend and sponsor, Alan Robinson, Herbal Aspect, for the 420 Facts. And Dom, we welcome back the Democratic Party Wisconsin chair. Right now, he is Ben Wickler. I'd like to think you're a friend as well, Ben. Thanks for answering the call. We've got a little bit of echo
feedback.
All right, let's try again. Ben, welcome to the show. First and foremost, I believe the perhaps unbeatable Tammy Baldwin might have an opponent in Eric Hoadvee. Tell us about Laguna Eric.
You know, when someone is voted one of Orange County, California's most influential citizens, not once, but 2 years in a row, you know they are all set to run for United States Senate from the state of Wisconsin. This is a Tim Michaels kind of experience. This is someone who runs a big bank. You know how Wisconsin voters are just really excited about that as what they're looking for in California. He lost a Senate primary to Tommy Thompson in 2012, to the guy who lost to Tammy Baldwin in 2012. Now he wants to run because I guess he thinks that his message of eliminating the Affordable Care Act and banning abortion and cutting Social Security is going to be a big hit with Wisconsin voters in 2024, which, you know, it's amusing to think that that's a selling proposition. But the other side of the coin is he has a lot of money from that bank and all his other businesses. And we've seen this playbook work out with people like Ron Johnson, who announced late and then buy a bazillion ads trying to paint a picture of themselves that's misleading. And if the Democratic candidates don't have the resources to punch back fully and define what the race is about, it can get really hairy. So we don't want to sleep on this race. And I want everyone to know that Tammy Baldwin, landslide Tammy, who won by so much in 2018, she will need our help to ensure that she can put this race to bed, and her election is necessary to the Senate majority. If we win, then her Women's Health Protection Act, putting the protections of Roe versus Wade into law, that could actually have a shot at passing, especially if we win the House. If she loses, Republicans have been talking about a national abortion ban. Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, that's what he wants. So the stakes are really high for things that affect people really directly. Even if you've never heard of Eric Hoadvee, get ready to go out and organize your way to defeating him.
Ben Wickler, the only reason I knew Eric Hoadvee was running for U.S. Senate is because somebody got in front of the candidate. He's got a very pretty logoed sign that's been on the highway in Washura County for about 3 months now. And that's not like a farmer side of the barn thing. So I knew the candidate, or at least I knew this guy was going to run for U.S. Senate. But I didn't know the policies. And Ben, this guy has got a litany of bad policies. He's on the wrong side of every aspect of history. At least historically with his advocacies. You're right, man. Anti-abortion, anti-Social Security. What is this guy for exactly that we would stand for? That we could say, well, there's a moderate stance. I don't see many in his resume.
I don't know either, man. I mean, this is a far-right Republican who's really kind of from the plutocratic wing of the Republican Party. He seems like someone who... let me give you an example of what I mean. Tammy Baldwin famously wrote this proposal in the Affordable Care Act that ensures that young people can stay on their parents' health insurance until age 26. This is like incredibly popular, like 80-something percent support. Even Republicans recognize this is the kind of thing you should keep in the law. When Hoadvee ran for Senate last time, he was asked about that specific provision, and his answer was to start talking about how in his day, young people stood on their own 2 feet. I mean... come on, man. Like, if jobs for, you know, young people aren't offering health insurance, why not let them stay on their parents' insurance? But he wants the independents, pull them up by their own bootstraps. Things are falling in my office. I'm so incensed about this. He's like, those kids should own a bank so they can afford their own health insurance. Right. And that's just not going to fly here.
You know, it's strange.
I spent too much time in Orange County.
It's strange. I watched the undercard presidential debate, and we saw a few of the excerpts of the Trump town hall earlier this week with Hannity, you know, when he declared himself a dictator on day one. But even the undercard debate, man, there was no moderates on the stage. When I look at the contenders, the top five, Trump plus the four also-rans, I wouldn't want to see any of them in the Oval Office. What was your impression of the debates in the Trumpian town hall?
I think you're really speaking to it exactly. It's like the whole Republican Party watched Trump in 2016 and then tuned out of the fact that he and his party lost in 18, 20, 2022, 2023. They're all just drinking MAGA Kool-Aid and they're just running in this kind of like frenzied competition to see who can be even more extreme than the other ones. The people spouting conspiracy theories and just outright lies and this stuff, you know, that cheese curd don't squeak, as I like to say. Like, this is just, it's just not what people are asking for in the state of Wisconsin. Maybe in South Carolina, Republican presidential primary. But if they want to win the general election, this stuff is so out of right field. And I wish more people could tune in to see these Republicans laying out their agenda. Because once you see it, it's hard to unsee.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, interesting article today in the Washington Post, kind of breaking down really how few people will really end up deciding what happens in the 2024 presidential race. Wisconsin, a very important state. Ben, here we are. Here we go again. What's your sense on how concentrated this is?
These elections are likely to be incredibly close. And, you know, it's easy to think back. We beat Trump by 7 million votes nationally in 2020, but almost all those votes could have been thrown out and it wouldn't have mattered. It came down, in fact, to 43,000 votes or 45,000 votes, excuse me, across Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. And with 45,000 votes, that means if 23,000 votes had switched sides, then Trump would have won in those three states, in our state, and then in two other states. And just to zero in even more, we lose Arizona and Georgia, then Wisconsin by itself can determine the presidential election. We had the same thing in 2016. We were the tipping point state. You throw out the two states that were closer, Michigan and Pennsylvania. Wisconsin, again, was the tipping point that put Biden over the top, and about 12,000 people switching sides in Wisconsin in either of those years would have given Trump the presidency. And this is what we think about as we go into 2024. Like, we are the state of nail biters. We're probably the one of the three tightest states in 2024 again. The Republicans know it. They put their national convention here. Trump hired Ron Johnson's campaign manager, who just won by one percentage point, you know, last year in Ron Johnson's reelection campaign. He is like laser focused on our state. And the Biden and Harris campaigns know it too. It's going to be this giant epic clash. And that means that every voter, everyone listening right now, you and your friends and family, you have more power to shape the whether American democracy survives in 2024 than almost anyone has ever had in American history. It's a ridiculous way to run a democracy, but it's the way it is, and we've got to act accordingly.
Ben, if you read the headline and don't get into it and crunch the numbers and are not in perhaps one of those states like the state of Wisconsin, it will have an oversized influence on who becomes the next president. What would you say to folks that say, well, it may count, but it doesn't matter? How do you get people motivated to vote in a state where, hell, you know, California, you know, probably going to go Dem, Florida, probably going to go Republican? You know, how do you keep people motivated to engage in the self-governance in some of those other kinds of states?
I'll say a couple things. First thing is, in New York and California, big blue states, House races flipped Republican in 2022 that gave Republicans control of the House. And now with George Santos out and probably a Democrat about to win an election there, you wind up with a 4-seat Republican House majority, which means any place there's a competitive House district, your vote matters an enormous amount to the entire country. There's two pretty red states, Montana and Ohio, where they have Senate elections in 2024. Those will be absolutely defining for the U.S. Senate majority. So that takes a few voters off the table. But across the rest of the country, you know, you can affect local offices. Those things really matter. Primaries can really matter. But you actually don't have much of a voice, and that is bad. I think that's a bad way to run a national election, a national democracy. There's an idea called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is basically a law that all these states pass where they all agree that if enough states pass it in order to define who wins the presidential election, then all the states will agree to give their electoral college votes to whoever wins the national popular vote, which is kind of a long way of saying, if this bill passes in enough states, then whoever actually wins the election by getting the most votes for president will win the election and become president. That bill has passed in enough states. Once Michigan passes it, which is happening pretty soon, it'll have passed in enough states for 220 electoral college votes, which means it only has 50 left in about five states the size of Wisconsin, fewer if you get a bigger state, to actually become the law. And that could happen before 2028. So it is possible that this is the last election like this, where the electoral college is the central story of a national presidential election. I hope so, because as much as I love Wisconsin being at the center of the action, and I think I trust Wisconsin voters to get this stuff right, I also think it is a total disgrace that voters in the rest of the country don't have as much voice as people here. We're supposed to be one person, one vote in this country.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. I only care about one state, Ben. Wisconsin, man. So
I'm with you, man.
Let's talk about the 48-48 math. Effectively, if I understood some of the quotes, I guess they weren't direct quotes, but you were referenced in the Washington Post saying effectively, it starts at about 48% Dems, 48% Republicans. So are we to believe there's only about 4% persuadable here in the state of Wisconsin, or is it really more about getting out those on our team that might be lower propensity voters?
So I spent a while talking to the reporter, and the idea kind of came through in this Washington Post story. But what I said was, look, you know, elections regularly come down to one percentage point or less, and you sort of assume each side starts at 48%. But who those 48% are changes enormously. Overall turnout changes enormously. And if you look at, you know, 2016 compared to 2020, we had 300,000 more people vote in the presidential election. This huge number, even though the margin only changed by you know, it went from 23,000 one way to 20,000 the other way. So that's 43,000 swing. There were hundreds of thousands more voters. And that means you both have to focus on people who probably would vote Democrat if they voted, but they might not vote, and make sure that they vote and they vote for Democrats. And you need to talk to people who are ticket splitters, which is 1 in 10 voters in our state in 2018. And, you know, the swing voters who are, I think, maybe less numerous, and make sure you're making the case to them. And the most powerful arguments, like the arguments around abortion and reproductive freedom and democracy and, you know, these basic ideas of freedom, those are actually persuasive both to people who need an argument for why it's worth voting and for people that might vote either way or split their ticket. So we look for those big uniting arguments that bring people together and push back against Republican extremism. And you don't write anyone off and you don't take anyone off the table. That's the only way to win in Wisconsin.
I'd like to take Derek Van Orden off the table. Could we work on the third CD? Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. Van Orden is a Republican, something of a carpetbagger in his own regard, to my opinion. But he's serving and he's playing moderate. But, you know, the truth keeps outing. This man is anything but a moderate. And Brian Stile might be a little more entrusted or encrusted down in the first, but that is still a competitive race. We could turn the balance of the Congress here in the state of Wisconsin with a few strong electoral outcomes in the third and the first. Ben, how do we make that happen?
That is absolutely right. So the first thing is we have a primary strong field in the third. We have one candidate. I know there's other people thinking about running in the first congressional district. We need to make sure there's great candidates in the field. You can pick your lane as far as the primary goes. The Democratic Party will be neutral in the primary, but we are working already to organize voters in the first and third congressional districts to fire these MAGA Republicans. Brian Stile doesn't make a lot of headlines, but he votes with Donald Trump every step of the way, including against January 6th investigation, including against impeachment. He's an apologist for Donald Trump and Trumpism. Derek Van Orden is all that, plus screaming at teenagers, whether they're in the Capitol or the Prairie du Chien Library. He just does not represent our state. So look, help us flip the House, help us flip the second Senate, help us flip the White House, and let's take a crack at the state legislature in 2024. There's a lot to do. I want folks to go to wiscdems.org and sign up to volunteer.
Well, that's excellent, Ben, because I don't have to ask you the website address then. Happy Hanukkah to your family, Ben. Thank you for making a little time on this Freaky Friday for the Devil's Advocates.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Ben. We'll talk again soon. It's almost like Wisconsin's an important state. Thank you, Ben. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us. Happy Friday to us all. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one friend of ours, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. I understand he's something of a rainmaker up in here. That man can raise some capital, some investment in the Democratic Party causes of the great state of Wisconsin, and we will need the resources here. There's only a handful of states that really, really matter, and we absolutely are one of those states. And sometimes the maps change, but you know what? Wisconsin is never excluded from the battleground states, seemingly, near as I can tell. So I look forward to it, Dom. I am excited about what is to come here because I think we're going to uphold small d democracy. And I think it could be a little bit of a blue wave, Dom. And with new legislative maps, you know, I know it's wishful thinking at this point, but at least there's a plan and a lawsuit in place. With new legislative maps, man, that could change democracy in the state of Wisconsin for the first time in 12 years. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2024. That's a New Year's resolution I could live with.
Change democracy. Hell, actually have an output that is reflective of the will of the people. Yes, that would be nice. Ben makes a point. You know, certainly Tammy Baldwin, I know she's undefeated and all this. You know, you talk like that, it gets me a little concerned. You know, Huffy's going to come in with some money. You know, the megas are going to be out there supporting. They're going to try to drive him home,
and we know the NRS
a lot of money spent. NRSC supporting already. Hubdy hasn't even spoke yet. He hasn't returned calls for comment,
not with the press, but I bet he's talking to the rich guys. I bet he talked to the U-lines,
all the rich people, right? Just like Scott Mayer, he's a businessman from Franklin. He apparently is also going to be running, but we'll see what happens if there's actually a primary. But if this is as important as we assume, as the Post talks about and as Ben Wickler talks about, there's going to be a crap ton of money spent in the state. And the Dems and Baldwin, they're going to have to be able to serve and match and spend more. It's going to be a very expensive race.
I'm less clear that it's purely about the expenditure of money. I think that there are differing ways to take an approach. I think that Republicans... And you know, Dom, I see a lot of the world through the prism of talk radio because it's what I do for a living and it's all I care about and read about and think about because this is what I do. But I have known and we have known and we've talked about many times the 81 right-wing talk radio outlets that were here in the state of Wisconsin in 2016. And unbeknownst to many of our liberal and progressive and Democratic and moderate friends that maybe don't live on the talk radio dial, Donald Trump does. And Ron Johnson did, and most Republicans do, and they benefit from all this free press. You know, we talk about what was the secret sauce, not you and I so much, other than the racism they threw at Mandela Barnes, but what was the secret sauce when a completely unacceptable, unstatesmanlike guy like Ron Johnson wins re-election in the state of Wisconsin? How did that happen? Well, according to
he wasn't governing as much as going on every single right-wing talk radio show that would have him. We know he takes all callers, Curdy.
And it's free. And it's free. And Reed Epstein at the New York Times reported, running up to the election, 350 hours, I think he was up to, 350 hours worth of right-wing talk radio interviews for free. That's in addition to the ongoing ads. The ads. Right-wing talk radio doesn't wait till 3 weeks before the election to start making their point. They know the point of radio in those that are politically active, people like you, but people on the right as well that pay attention and they care about their issues and they're looking for guidance and they're looking, they want to hear these messages. And the Republicans start about a year out. And over the course of time, these repetitive radio messages, and you don't even hear them, you Dom, because you don't even listen to traditional radio most of the time. And a lot of our friends don't hear them because they're on country sticks and they're out there on rural AMs. And you don't even know that this messaging campaign is kicking our ass over and over and over again. And this is not billions being invested relative to the cost of TV flights down the dial, down the end, last 3 weeks of the elective campaign. This is cheap. They're doing it on the cheap. Radio is a very inexpensive medium. Don't have to transfer these beautiful pictures of guys like us down. I mean, it would change the whole dynamic if they did, but
I mean, you know,
they utilize radio. They use the host. They use the ads. They use the platforms. Well, here's what's changed. You're listening to it. This radio network did not exist prior. And I don't think this will go without impact in the next elective campaign, Dom. You know, in the third, I tease, air quotes, Ben Wickler. The third, I care a lot about the third. I went to college in the third. Me and you, we were roommates. We became buddies in the third. That's La Crosse. That's southwestern Wisconsin. And Ron Kind, former DA of La Crosse, although he wasn't the guy that put me away, Ron Kind served admirably, sort of moderately, sort of a blue dog guy. But now we got Derek Van Orden in the third.
Oh, man.
But you know, Civic Media made a commitment. Sage Wild, the owner of Civic Media, made a commitment to the third CD. I could point, but he bought them. And there are five Civic Media talk radio stations playing in the third CD right now. We got two playing in the first right now, covering Brian Stiles' district as best we can. So you got the tools. It's time to use them. Somebody built a warm, fuzzy blanket of coverage, Dom. Others might call it a Death Star, but I like to call it a warm, fuzzy blanket of
coverage. Are you calling yourself a tool, Crudy? Are you a tool?
Oh, just like you are. Absolutely, I'm a tool. I am a hammer. And talk radio is my passion, as you well know. And this is what we do. And we have fun here. And we enjoy ourselves. And we get to know people. I mean, we're flyover country for everybody else. But we live here. We go out there. We meet the people. We talk to them every day on the radio. I love this state, man. I wear this red Badger hat proudly. It's not a MAGA hat. Don't misinterpret those looking on the streets.
You blend in well at the Trump rallies, Crudy.
I wore this red Badger hat all across the nation, man. People love the state of Wisconsin. A, we know how to party. B, we got great sports teams. My Badgers are going to beat number one Arizona tomorrow in Tucson. You heard it here first. I made the Marquette prediction last week, and I'm making the Arizona win prediction money line. And, I'm just saying, man, Badgers are bust. This is the only state that matters to me. Shout out WCPT, Chicago, KTNF, Minneapolis, and all our friends all across Wisconsin listening on the Civic Media warm, fuzzy blanket of coverage.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Christmas Day Monday was